Let us pray. O God, as we gather around the word you have given us, silence within us anything which keeps us from hearing, that the words we read and proclaim together might become for us the word of life. Through Jesus Christ, amen. My Old Testament professor in college, when we talked about the Psalms, wrote in very large letters across the whole chalkboard in those days, "Psalms are for singing." And so instead of reading the Psalm 139, we will join together as we sing. Lord, you have searched me. You know me through and through. Lord, you have searched me. You know me through and through. You know when I rise up. You know when I rest. You read my thoughts from far away. You watch over each step. You know when I sleep. You are acquainted with all my ways. Lord, you have searched me. You know me through and through. Even before a word is on my lips, you know what is in my heart. You are before me and behind me and all around me. You lay your hand upon me. Lord, you have searched me. Know me through and through. Where shall I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. You are in the depths of the sea. Lord, you have searched me. You know me through and through. If I could fly to the morning sun, or dwell near the farthest sea, if I ascend to heaven, you are there. Your right hand would hold me fast. Lord, you have searched me. You know me through and through. If I be covered by darkness, or the light around me turn to night, the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Lord, you have searched me. You know me through and through. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if I follow the path of evil, and lead me in the way of eternal life. Lord, you have searched me. You know me through and through. The word of the Lord. Would you rather be known or unknown? That's the question I asked a few days ago at a committee meeting I was leading in the presbytery. It was the first meeting of our committee for the year, and we, as always, at the beginning of the year, added some new members. And so I wanted to spend some time as a committee just getting to know one another a bit. So when I asked them to share their names and what congregations they were part of, they also had to answer that icebreaker question. Would you rather be known or unknown? There were 12 of us in the room. 6 said they would rather be known. 6 said, I would rather be unknown. I wonder how you would have answered. Really, though, if I analyze the questions, the answers that were given to that question, the ones who said, I'd rather be known, tended to put a few qualifiers on their answers. I'd rather be known, some would say, and then they'd keep speaking of course, I would rather people know the things I want them to know about me and not the things I don't want them to know. Maybe you understand what that's like. There's just something terrifying about letting down the walls and taking off your mask and letting someone know you as you really are. Even in the relationships that you trust the most, those that are the deepest and the truest that you have, those marvelous relationships where you have been vulnerable and laid bare your heart, there's something scary about letting yourself be fully seen, be fully known. Will I be judged? Will I be rejected? Will they think I'm stupid for believing what I do? Will they stop loving me if they find out the things about myself that I don't want anyone else to know? Maybe you know that fear that is so real. If they really knew me, my thoughts and fears and faults, nothing would be the same. And so we keep ourselves hidden from one another. And maybe you've already discovered that not knowing others in any real way leads us to all sorts of conclusions and behaviors. And so we smile at offensive comments rather than speaking up. Or we don't share our thoughts about things that matter, because if we do, what will they think? We don't risk reaching out to our neighbor in need because maybe we fear that they wouldn't want us to know how much they are hurting. And so we stay trapped in our individual silos, not risking the vulnerability required to say, I have need of your care. The fears are real, and that's why so many would rather not be known. I think that's why something jumped out at me a few weeks ago. The words were just a simple message written, calling, inviting me to an act of imagination. It said, imagine meeting someone who wanted to learn your past, not to punish you, but to understand how you need to be loved. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what it's like to be known in such a way as to be loved more, not less? If you can imagine that, you are imagining the wonder of being known and loved by God. But even then, it's hard to trust our imaginations. I suspect you know that battle. After all, Psalm 139 is the psalm for all of us who know both the terror and the joy of being fully known. The God we meet in this psalm is one who is relentlessly searching us out. This is a God not somehow distant and removed from the world, but rather a God who is intimately involved with each of our lives. The psalmist says there's no place we can go, from the deepest sea to the farthest height to the most crowded room, where God does not hold us fast, where God is not with us, God discerning our thoughts and knowing us through and through. And as one of the prayers of the church reminds us, our hearts are open to God. All our desires are known, and none of our secrets are hidden. There is no place we can go where we can escape God, where God does not know us and hold us fast. And sometimes we're left to wonder, is that a good thing or a frightening thing? Even the psalmist seems a bit uncertain as he falls into the language of entrapment, as he describes how God hems him in, behind and before. And you get the sense that being fully known by anyone, especially by God, can be a bit unsettling. Something within us just recoils at this level of knowledge. We don't really want to be known this well by anyone, even by God. Many of us, I suspect, prefer a God who doesn't know us quite that intimately. One who is there, of course, when we need God, but not one so acutely aware of our every thought. Well, the good news is that even though we might prefer distance, God does not. Even though we may run or seek to hide, we cannot fully escape. Though we might like our lives to be blessedly independent, God chooses to be in relationship with each of us. This psalm speaks of a relationship marked by God's pursuit, maybe even God's invasion of our lives, by any means necessary. And the good news about this knowledge for us is simply this. The God who knows all is also the God who forgives all. The good news of Jesus Christ is that the God who knows us is the God who loves us. In spite of our horrible thoughts, in spite of our mixed motivations, in spite of the secrets we so desperately try to keep hidden, there is no getting around the psalmist's words, we are fully known. But we are also fully loved. There is one question that comes with that news, though, and it's this. Since God already knows you through and through, and God already loves you beyond measure, maybe there's no use wasting our energy trying to escape from God or to hide from God. We can free that energy for other things, namely living your life in response to the God who knows you and loves you and calls you. In other words, you are known for a purpose. You are known so that you can be loved. And you are loved by God so that you can love others. Some of you are into assignments. So let me offer a few simple things that you might do this week. First, rather than hiding yourself from others, open yourself to someone. I'm not suggesting that you have to share your deepest, darkest secrets, but when you hear a voice in conversation with someone calling you inside your head, wondering if you should share what's on your heart or not, lean toward giving someone the gift of yourself, the gift of your life. And let me encourage you by saying that one of the great ways to give someone that gift of you is by joining a small group. Sign-ups will begin this week and for the next round here in the congregation, and your presence would be a gift to others. Second, make a real effort to get to know someone better. Don't dismiss a relationship because you think you know what drives them, what guides their actions. Take the time to get to know them beyond the surface of their lives. And finally, the third and final thing, seek to remember that the pathway to being loved always runs through being known. And now, as those who are fearfully and wonderfully known, let us stand together to say what we believe. What is your only comfort in life and in death? My only comfort in life and in death is that I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him.